I'm going to do a scripture reading that is on the back of the bulletin. And the scripture reading is 1 Corinthians 5, 6 through 8. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Cleanse out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth.
I'm going to read the same scripture in Japanese. コリント人への手紙、第一コリント人への手紙、5章6節から8節までをお読みします。あなた方の高慢は良くないことです。あなた方はほんのわずかなパン種が、粉の塊全体を膨らませることを知らないのですか。新しい粉の塊のままでいるために古いパン種を取り除きなさい。あなた方はパン種のないものだからです。私たちの過ぎ越しの子羊キリストがすでにほふられたからです。ですから私たちは古いパン種を用いたり悪意と不正のパン種を用いたりしないで、パン種の入らない純粋で真実なパンで祭りをしようではありませんか。
Good morning again. How about we all stand and just give one another a happy New Year's? How about that? Is that okay to do? How about we stand and
I know it's not your birthday yet. It will be.
I'm too quick.
Yes, I know, but I'm not going to be here. But happy birthday.
Happy New Year's. You guys make any New Year's resolutions? Anyone do that? Anyone big on New Year's resolution? Me neither. I'm not good with resolutions. I guess growing up in a Japanese home, did they do that in a Japanese home? You know what we did in our home? My dad would always have a theme for the year, you know? And he'd have like a family meeting. We didn't often do this, but he'd have this family meeting and then he'd tell us, you know, cleanliness, you gotta keep your room clean and, you know, eat your vegetables, stuff like that. This year, even though we weren't together for New Year's, we haven't been together for New Year's in a long time. He lined us. He uses this app called Line. And the theme for this year is safety. He wants us to be safe. But do you have a theme for your year? What is your year going to be like this year? 2018 for me personally was a pretty rough year. So hopefully this year will be a lot better. And safety certainly is one of those things I'd like to hold on to. The older you get, the more you realize how, I guess, mortal you are, you know? You don't run as fast, you don't heal as fast, you get injured quickly, you get sore faster. I went to the gym yesterday, the first time this year, and I played a little basketball, and then I started to do some weights. I started doing squats, and I couldn't even finish before I started cramping up. My hamstring started cramping up, and so I had to call it a day for, you know, 16 minutes of working out on weights. But as we get older, we realize, we're not going to be here forever. But while we're here, it matters how we live. It does. And here, in today's passage, Paul is going to talk about getting rid of old leaven. And that's a baking term, a cooking term. Leaven was used to puff up bread and to make it bigger. And leaven, all throughout Scripture, was actually used as a symbol of sin, though, because it spreads and it puffs up. And Paul is saying here in today's passage, Corinthian church, I want you to get rid of the old leaven. And that was actually a tradition for the Jewish people during a feast called a Feast of Unleavened Bread. This is, I believe, right before Passover or during Passover. It kind of overlaps. Yeah, I'm looking at Julie because she's our, she's Jewish. She grew up with doing this kind of stuff. But they had this tradition where during this festival, this is during the spring, it's a spring festival, they would take leaven and hide it for the kids so that they could find, and they wouldn't touch it. They would wrap it, I believe, in paper or something and put it on a wooden spoon, and they would take it out of the house. And it was sort of like a spring cleaning, you know, but it was a spring cleaning concerning sin. And that's an important thing, I believe, for the church to be able to talk about and even value. It's so strange that sometimes the church can be an infestation of sin. I didn't grow up in the church, so I didn't have any preconceived notion about the church. I never stepped in a church when I was growing up. Maybe a couple times when I slept over at a friend's house. But, when I became Christian, this was later in life, I thought the church was supposed to be a place of holiness, a place where you encounter God. When I became saved, I'd come, and that one song, "Lord, I Lift Your Name Up on High," we'd sing that. And I'd start crying. I don't even know I was crying. And my friend next to me said, "Are you crying? Stop crying. You don't have to cry every time you go to church." He grew up going to church, and he grew up with sort of the emotional highs. You go to the camp, and then you cry at camp and stuff like that. And I had no matrix for that. That wasn't even in my grid. I just come, and then for some reason, I get touched by God, and I start crying. I was a crier when growing up. I'm the youngest kid. I'm the youngest child. And so that was my defense mechanism. Whenever my older sibling would beat up on me, I could cry just like that. Like, tears and everything to get my parents to save me. But, this wasn't that. I was at church. The Lord touched me. I was crying. I didn't know you're not supposed to cry or you're supposed to cry or what. It just happened. And I had this idea that church was supposed to be a place of just holiness, love, and, I kind of have the sniffles. I've had this last week too, but, just being a part of the church, I realized, hey, that's not it, Sometimes the church isn't a place like that. And it just boggles my mind sometimes. We hear of some of these larger institutions like the Catholic Church covering up just scandals after scandals of pedophilia. They knew these things were happening. And instead of doing anything, they take the priest and they move them to another place. It was one of the most... I saw this movie called... I forgot the movie. Just skips my mind. Spotlight. Spotlight is, I believe, one of the news section for the Chicago Times or something. I forgot. Boston? And they uncovered this conspiracy, if you will, of just Catholic Church knowing there's pedophilia priests, and instead of reprimanding them, rebuking them, taking them out of office, getting them help, they would say they're on a sick leave, but then move them to another diocese, move them to another church to be a priest there. And it continued for years and years and years. And there's this one scene in the movie where, you know, some of the reporters, the investigators, goes to the lawyers and goes to one of the lawyers that's defending these priests or representing these priests and said, you know, how could you kind of live with yourself? You know, one of those things. And he said, you know, I tried to tell you guys that this was happening. You guys just didn't want to listen. And it's weird that that's how sin is sometimes. I try to tell you this kind of thing, but you guys just don't want to listen. You guys just don't want to hear it. I'm not saying that's what I'm trying to do. It's just, you know, that's sort of the world we live in. And I had this revelation. I'm not crying. I'm just kind of sick. Excuse me. And I had this revelation. You know, we're really selfish people. Human beings are just selfish. We are. I am. And it's so hard, you know, to really parse out, like, what's selfish, what's not selfish. Because, you know, even as a pastor, I could say, I want this church to grow. And that could be from a very selfish place, you know. It doesn't necessarily come from a good place sometimes when pastors say that stuff like that. Or, I want you guys to give more, you know. That sometimes can come from a selfish place. Even though those are good things, those are right things. And I just realized, you know, we're really selfish people. And one thing that we need is we need one another to point out when we're in sin. In this section today, it says, I'm going to try to cover the whole chapter, but I started off with the scripture reading from verse 6. It says, your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little yeast leavens the whole batch of dough? Get rid of the old yeast so that you may be a new unleavened batch as you really are. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Let me just stop with, your boasting is not good. The Corinthian church, I believe culturally, they're very much so like America. And one commentator said they were probably like Los Angeles or New York. They were, you know, very liberal, the extreme. They were on the cutting edge. And a lot of times when you're on the cutting edge of just fashion, design, whatever, you're also on the cutting edge of sin for some reason. And this church had a person that was in sexual immorality. And it said the type that not even unbelievers tolerate. And this sin was, he was sleeping with his stepmother, some say. Or it could have been his actual mother. And you would think that the Corinthian church would be like, hey, you're Christian. You're supposed to be following Jesus. You're supposed to value holiness, righteousness, and stuff like that. But they didn't. What ended up happening was they began to boast. Now, I don't know what they were boasting about, and I don't know how you could boast about that kind of thing, but they were boasting in this sin. Boasting meaning they weren't even ashamed of it. Rather, they were proud of it, and maybe even celebrating it. You know, it's one thing when you don't know when you're in sin. Have you ever had that? You just didn't know you're in sin? And have, you know, I think this happens all the time. That we're in sin, we just don't know we're in sin. And then someone points it out and say, hey, you know, this is actually kind of selfish of you, doing this kind of thing. And having a contrite heart and being repentant and saying, you know what, you're right, I'm so sorry, I didn't know that. And that's a characteristic of a genuine believer, I believe. I think a lot of times we can be just unaware of sin. For example, I remember when I started going to Crossway Church, that's our sister church, San Fernando Church. This is in the San Fernando Valley. And I was about 20, I don't know, like 23 or something like that. And we were getting ready for a VBS, Vacation Bible Study. And we're just decorating. And then they were making a bookshelf. And so they started making these fake titles of books, you know. And one of the titles of that book was Carpooling with Aki. And everyone started laughing, Carpooling with Aki. And I'm like, what's so funny about that? He's like, and then they're like, every time we say, do you want to carpool, you get so excited, but you never drive. And that just never crossed my mind. I'm the youngest. And growing up, I used to hang out with people older than me all the time. So whenever I heard the term carpool, it just meant for me, I'm not driving, I'm going with someone else. And apparently that spilled over to my Christian friends now. And whenever I said carpooling, that means, hey, can you drive me somewhere? And I had no idea that that's what was coming across. And they're like, ha ha ha, carpooling with Aki. I'm like, what's so funny? And they're like, hey, you do this. I'm like, and I thought to myself, I'm like, oh my gosh, I do that. I wasn't really contrite and say, I'm really sorry and stuff like that. But I'm like, oh wow, this just, things you don't see, you know, things you just don't know. And people point that out to you, and you're like, oh, I didn't know that. I have another more embarrassing story, but you get my point, right? And that's going to happen to us as we mature in Christ. As we mature as a person in general, but as we mature in trying to figure out what righteousness is, what holiness is, it's so important to be able to receive correction. To understand, hey, we're not perfect. I'm going to come off some, maybe judgmental sometimes. If you guys have something you need to correct me when I speak, when I pastor, that's fine. I'm open to that. And I hope you too are open to that as well. As people who are striving to be more like Jesus. And it's a normal thing to not know when you're in sin sometimes. Especially the culture we live in. Society has normalized sin in a lot of ways. We've been social engineered to accept certain things as Americans. It's so interesting sometimes just listening to people that are not from the U.S. And we have a neighbor who's from China. And apparently in China, living together before you're married is still taboo. Praise God for that, for China and for places like that. But in America, it's not. You know, it's become so normalized here. And to hear that from someone that's older, it's like, wow, that's, I didn't know that kind of thing still happens. But we live in a world and a society where sex is so normalized. And it's been happening for so long. I remember when I was junior high. And there was one of the cool kids going around, and he was just pointing around, you're a virgin, as if that was a bad thing. And I was like, oh, I guess you're not supposed to be a virgin when you're, this is in junior high. It was so weird that they would mock you for having your virginity before marriage. But this is the world we live in. And it's so important that we who believe in Jesus and follow Him have an understanding of what is right and what is wrong, and that is not socially engineered by the society we live in. It says, your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little yeast leavens the whole batch of dough? Get rid of the old yeast so that you may be a new unleavened batch as you really are. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. There's a lot of things I would like to say, but before I forget, I want to say this. That each and every one of us, I believe we have old leaven in our lives. Old leaven. Whether that comes from society, whether that comes from the culture, whether that comes from false teaching, false doctrine, whether that's just because we're ignorant, I believe each and every one of us has some type of old leaven. I believe churches have old leaven. And the good news here is, God wants to get rid of those things in your life. Whatever it is, God wants to get rid of that in your life. So that you can be unleavened, an unleavened batch, a new unleavened batch as you really are. He wants to get stuff out of your life that is holding you down from being who you truly are. Amen. That is what this scripture is saying. Old leaven. What does old leaven look like? And for each and every one of us, I believe that's different. I do have a rant, if I will. I think in the Japanese culture, and I don't know if this is just strictly Japanese culture, but just there's this saying, and this is also a saying in Europe apparently, that where there's smoke, there's fire. Yeah, there's fire. Where there's smoke, there's fire. Or without fire, there's no smoke. Or something like that. It goes one way or another. And I remember one time I was in Japan and I was watching baseball with my mom. She's a big Tokyo Giants fan. We're watching baseball. Mm-hmm. And there was this guy on the team. I forgot what his name was now. But apparently he got a divorce or something like that. And they were saying stuff about him. And then my mom said, well, you know, it must be true because where there's no smoke, there's no fire or something like that. She says, and I said, okay, yeah. It's like, I don't know. I've never heard that saying before. I do think that is not biblical. I think there's always going to be smoke even when there is no fire. I guess that doesn't work in a sense like that, but what that saying means is, if there's something bad said about you, you must be doing something bad, right? I think that's the correlation. If that were completely true, then every one of the disciples, Jesus himself, must have been doing something bad, because they crucified him. If we had that mentality, and I think it's been ingrained in some of us, if we had that mentality and we were at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, I think some of us would say, well, he must have done something bad. He wouldn't be up there. The leaders would not have put him up there if he didn't do anything bad. Jesus himself says, the world will hate you if you follow me. I say this because in Japan, I believe there is a high rate of suicide. And I believe there's a high rate of suicide because of the bullying that's happening in Japan. There's a bullying epidemic in Japan. And I think in Japan, when bullying happens, and then someone finally says something, the last thing they want to hear is, well, if there's no smoke, there's no fire. Meaning, you know, if you're being bullied, maybe you're doing something wrong. And I just want to just say that's not biblical. There's always going to be someone out there. When you start following Christ, when you take a stand, there's always going to be someone there that's going to oppose you. When you take a stand for something, there's going to be someone there. Stand, especially a stand for truth. There's going to be someone there that's going to oppose you. When you start following Christ, you're always going to have opposition. Always. Now, the reason I bring that up, and going back to our passage today, it's such a weird thing that no one would say something to this person that was struggling sexually. In fact, they didn't not say anything. They began to accept it and celebrate it. And Paul is saying, what is going on with your church? This church is not meant to celebrate anything and everything. We are here to celebrate Jesus and try to follow Him. And if there's anything that gets in the way of that, shouldn't you be even a little ashamed of that at first? But then he goes on a little further and said, you know, you got to get rid of that thing. Because if you don't, it will infiltrate the entire church. And that is how sin works in you and me. And on a micro level, that's how sin works. When we let sin in our lives, it will infiltrate our entire lives. We think we can compartmentalize sin. We cannot. It's like leaven. It starts out small, but if you leave it alone and if you don't get rid of it, it will take control of your entire life. It will be a part of your entire life. Let me just say this. There is grace that covers sin. Amen. There is grace that will cover sin. The difference here in this church, in Corinthian church, wasn't that they weren't using grace to cover sin anymore. They were using grace to participate in sin. There's a difference. They used grace as a license to sin, knowing, you know what? God is so loving. God is so forgiving. Hey, I'll just do whatever I want. And then just ask for forgiveness later. Sin, if unrepented of, will work like leaven. Leaven, a small thing that bakers use to puff bread up, it will be a small thing in our lives that will make us puffed up. And the word puffed up is sort of arrogant or prideful. And pride is one of the most trickiest sin. Because when you're in pride, you just don't know. And when you're in pride, you just don't hear, you just don't listen, you just don't see, and your heart is so hardened. It will work in your entire life. And if the congregation is not careful and they celebrate that, and not confront it, it will work through an entire congregation. Yeast or leaven all throughout Scripture represents sin. There's a parable about leaven, but I won't go there today. I think that one represents sin as well. Some believe it does. Anyways, moving on. It says, therefore, let us keep the festival not with the old bread leavened with malice and wickedness, but with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Again, just Paul's making a reference to a festival that they participate in where, you know, it's a tradition to get all the old leaven out of the house. And just like that, Paul says, this church needs to get rid of those things. Out of the church. And as harsh as it may sound, the church was instructed to get rid of that person that was in that sexual immoral lifestyle, relationship. He said, cast them out of the fellowship. Anyone who claims to be a believer but does not have a contrite, repentant attitude toward their sinful behavior, I believe the church would do well if they try to help them the best, but then say, hey, this place is probably not for you. This isn't meant to punish, but to help steer people away from losing their inheritance in the Lord. Also, it's meant to protect the congregation from falling under the same judgment of condoning the sinful behavior. Just going back to Spotlight, how many kids would have not had to go through the horrific abuse of a priest if one person would just say, hey, you have a problem, you need help? How hard is that? Oftentimes, though, I think it becomes difficult when, you know, someone like a priest is in a powerful position. And a lot of times, people who are not contrite about their sin, meaning not remorseful of their sin, often can be the most intimidating people to try to confront. Someone who's meek and wanting to grow in the Lord, it's a little easier, you know, to confront someone like that. There's certain people that are approachable, and so there's certain people that people are afraid to approach. And it's important that we as a congregation of believers are not afraid of confronting those things. I think that's one of my resolutions. I think I want to embrace fights a little bit more. I was always a lover, not a fighter. But I think it's important to be able to confront some things, certain things. Things happening in Hollywood, things happening in the Catholic Church, things that happen in USA Gymnastics, stuff like that. You know, you think that there'd be someone that says, hey, that's wrong. But no one did, and if they did, they were silenced. It's the world we live in. And although that's the world we live in, the church should not be that kind of place. The church should be a place where people feel safe, people feel loved. And as broken as we are, if we're struggling, that's the key word. Those that are struggling with sin, they're in a good place because they're not accepting that in their lives. A struggling Christian is nothing to be ashamed of. A Christian that says, you know what, that's just who I am and doesn't want to deal with it, I think that's a little bit scarier than somebody that's fighting it, struggling with it. It's okay to have shame. Knowing that Christ, that Jesus Christ Himself, will wipe all that away. He will fix it. He'll take care of it. There's so many things I want to say. But here, again, let me just say, God wants to get leaven out of your life. Isn't that good news? Isn't that good news that you could just say, you know what, Lord? Here's some leaven I've been holding on to. Take it. Instead of going through like a 12-step thing, just take it, Lord. You know what? I know I'm going to mess up with this leaven again, but take it. And I think the Lord wants to take all of your leaven. Get rid of the old leaven. The tricky thing is, just like carpooling with Aki, it's finding out what that leaven is sometimes. Well, let's see if the Lord speaks to you. Let us pray. Lord, And pray this with me. Lord, if there's leaven, old leaven, that you want to get rid of in my life, even a false doctrine that I've been believing, a false teaching, a false self-image of myself, lies that says you are unworthy, Lord, I pray you would reveal leaven right now, the old leaven, that we would get rid of it. Whether it's a religious spirit, whether it's an old habit, whether it's an addiction, a weakness, we just want to give you our leaven, Lord. 2019, starting this new year, we want to start it off by giving you our leaven, Father. You know, I see an image of a father's hand and as little children just giving him leaven that he's allowed us to find. Don't worry about the ones you can't find. There's grace today. There is grace today. Father, I thank you for your grace. Lord, I pray for the grace to get rid of old leaven in our lives. The way we treat each other, Lord. The way we look down on each other. The pride, the leaven of pride we just ask, command that in Jesus' name to get out of our lives. The leaven of arrogance, get out. The leaven of cowardice, get out. The leaven of self-righteousness, get out. The leaven of poverty, get out. The leaven of sexual sin, get out. Father, we thank you so much for your grace. You know, we have the grace today to partake in communion. And as we take communion, the way we do it here is you don't have to be a member of this church. We do ask that you have asked Jesus Christ in your lives as Lord and Savior. The way we do it is we line up and we partake of the elements, which is cracker and grape juice, and we just break the cracker and dip it into the grape juice. If you need assistance and you don't want to walk up the stairs, please just sit in the front row and we'll administer the communion, the elements to you. But as we go partake of the elements, and if the Lord showed you any leaven, I invite you to just, as a sign, you know, as a symbolic gesture, just lay it there on the altar. You could just lay your leaven there. Now, you know, I've been into services where, you know, they're supposed to set you free of certain sin, and you feel energized for a couple of days, and then you just get caught up back into that sin. I've been in those. Not just me. I don't know why I have the mic then. But anyways, I don't think it'll break sin forever. But it's a sign. You're giving it to the Lord. And the Lord will work with you. Let me just tell you this. He is faithful. And what you're struggling with now, I believe He is faithful to break it one day. It might not be today. But you can give it to Him today. And then maybe in a couple years it'll bear fruit. And you'll see things in your life that you never really expected to see. Only God can do that. I can't do that. God can do that though. I've seen that in my life. I've seen God take sin in my life and slowly, slowly just transform my life. And I don't want to brag or anything, but I was just thinking to myself the other day, I'm like, I've come a long way. Yeah, I've come a long way. And the Lord is going to take you a long way. Just give it to Him and see what He does with it. Grace is such the most powerful thing, I believe, in this world. It will transform your life. It will change you in ways you thought you'd never be changed. I'd like to just read from 1 Corinthians 11:24. It says, Paul says, when Jesus had given thanks and broke the elements, He said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." He establishes a new covenant that night on communion. Or Passover. That covenant is contract. You guys ever sign a contract you wish you never signed? Mm-hmm. This isn't that. This is something that you can't wait to get your name on that contract. This contract is, no longer will you relate to me, and me meaning, God says no longer will you relate to me on your merits, on your righteousness, on how good you are, and on how well you could perform some of the things that are written. That's no longer how you're going to relate to me. From now on, you will relate to me as a father to a child. By grace. If you receive my Son, you are born again. No longer a human being trying to reach God, but a new creation, a part of the family of God. That is the new covenant that God made on that night. And this, we do this in remembrance of that. And so as we come to the altar, let us remember who we are in the Lord. Unleavened. Child of God. And put that old leaven on that altar. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for all that you have done for us. The grace that is available for us today, right now, in this room. I believe there's grace available for each and every one of us. Enough grace to take our lives in a direction that could not have been taken any other way. Only by God's grace. Only by God's grace can your life be taken in a direction that will lead to an inheritance in the kingdom of heaven. We thank you for that grace. And as we partake of the elements, may we remember it. May you install your grace in us. In Jesus' name, amen.